This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Hey buzzers, you are watching the Arrow After Show. Hey buzzers, you're watching the Arrow After Show, and dang it, it is time to reset.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yay! That was good. Hello. Congratulations.
Welcome. Thank you. I mean, I did do theater.
Hi. We are so excited to see you guys, and we have a very interesting episode to discuss this evening, to say the least. I'm your host, Ali Kona Bradford, and I am joined by some pretty fantastic ladies, and I will let them say hello.
Hello, I'm Olivia DiBartoli, and Quentin is back.
Hi, I'm Carolina Benetti. I survived the time loop. That's how I feel. I'm just, like, still surviving it.
All right. And Mr. Matt Maher is missing this evening. That's okay. He's spending some time with his mom, who's in town, so we're okay with that.
Yeah.
We have you guys.
Yeah. And of course, yes, this part of the table belongs to you. You guys know the deal. But in case anybody here is brand new, we always offer this side. We chop it off and give it to you because you are co-hosting the show with us. So join us live in the chat and, of course, on social media, hashtag everything ABTV Arrow. And if you're not watching live, it is A-OK because you can leave a comment below. Now, we are going to start with our very first thing, yeah. Hashtag who I love to hate.
So let us know in the comments before we start. I'm all over the chat. Hi, everybody. I see Brandon. I see Michael Blake, Black Magic, Archer's Alley. Everyone's here. So hello. And yeah, let me know what your who I love to hate is. Should I go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah,
mine's going to be kind of obvious. Lila.
Oh, she took mine.
Well, I mean, she's kind of...
These hoes ain't loyal.
These girls ain't loyal.
Oh, okay. Sorry. PG-13 version. My bad.
No, it's just like, I mean, it was just so obvious. Like, Lila, come on. You couldn't have just, like, been real with everyone since the beginning. Ugh, I'm just so annoyed with her. Go ahead.
Who I love to hate is the actual time loop.
Oh. I got to jump on that bandwagon with you.
I hate Groundhog Day. I hate any movie that makes me relive the same scenes again and again and again. It just drives me out of my mind. I avoid movies like that. So tonight's episode was really difficult for me because I just wanted it to move on. So I was ecstatic when things started to deviate from the original because I might have just gone and taken a nap on the couch and been like, wake me up when he figures it out. Because
right.
That's the whole episode. I was really excited when they did finally deviate.
That was... Okay, you guys both took my hashtag who I love to hate.
Oh, no!
But I will piggyback on and say hashtag who I love to hate is the theme of this show. I mean, I get it. Oliver Queen is going to die. We get it. Can you not shove it down our throat and try to force us to accept it ahead of time along with Oliver?
That's what I was saying. I was like, they are making us accept it as well because Oliver's accepting it. So they're just going to be like... You guys all need to understand that he's dying because 100% he's going to die, and we're making sure that you're ready for it.
But that sort of ruins
or
it.
That could be the red herring.
It could be. I wrote that in my notes too, but that's also...
Because it's becoming so obvious that I feel like it's become a red herring, yeah. And it's like, what do they actually have in store? Because if you have to shove it down our throats this much just for it to be true, I feel like it's not true.
Maybe.
But even if, and I know we have to get to our co-hosts at home, but at the same time, too, let's say that is his final fate.
Yeah.
It's not even that, not that I would ever enjoy his death, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, on the season finale, because yeah. I'm going to be anticipating the entire crisis.
Which is why I feel like it's a red herring. And I feel like this is something all of our viewers at home want to jump on and chat about.
Please.
Because, like, it's the biggest point of contention throughout the whole series. It's like, how are they gonna end it? How are they gonna get him to go away? Like, is he just gonna be like, well, I'm putting the hood up? Or is he gonna, like, lose an arm so then he can't be the Arrow anymore? Because now it's just becoming way too obvious.
Right. That he's gonna die.
But yeah, I mean, maybe they're trying too hard.
Maybe the way he dies is the thing that's gonna be the shocker. But, like, everybody knows that he's gonna die. It's just gonna be a big, you know, reveal as to the way he dies. I don't know. So people in the chat, Ivan Soda, I hate Lila and the monitor for being cryptic. Angers me so much. Me too, Ivan. Oh, your husband's not here today. I'm sorry. Brandon says, my who I love to hate is the monitor. Even though he was in this episode, he is so extra and is doing the most to teach Oliver
right?
a lesson.
Well, I mean, to be
we
fair,
don't have time.
He's like the overlord of the episode. So he was in it, in a
I
way.
Mean, yeah. So those are a couple who I love to hate. Everyone's talking about the Edge of Tomorrow reference. Better movie than Groundhog Day, even though I never saw it. Ha. Huh.
Oh, God. Also painful. Know,
I could accept Groundhog's Day the first time that movie came out just because it was so long ago and it was, like, not like other movies. So you're like, oh, this is different. But then after that, anybody who copied
that... No, I think, like, 20 minutes into it, I was like, make it stop. Why are we still here? Can I leave? And it was, like, one of those family things where you can't leave the living room without being, like, labeled the black sheep. So I just sat there infuriated.
I don't hate repetitive movies like that. Like they were saying, Edge of Tomorrow. I was like, oh, I'm kind of interested in it. I don't know.
I didn't know the Edge of Tomorrow was that. When I watched it, I regretted all my life choices.
Here's the thing, right? If they really wanted to please some people with this whole Groundhog's Day, which at least they referenced it, like they paid homage. But come on, can you at least like start every morning with the salmon ladder? Then I might be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in. But I counted, and I think we went through 9 rounds, 9 different times that he woke up. Then wow. I was like, okay, so we got to save Lance again.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because we got Lance.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the best thing. He's literally probably one of my favorite, after mm-hmm. Speedy, one of my favorite, and Felicity. Okay, I have so many. But he's just like always on board. You could tell him whatever you want. He's just like, okay, let's go. You know?
Was deeply satisfied by his ending with... his daughter his daughter from another earth. That's what I needed. Like, I needed to see him and Laurel just have that moment. I was getting all teary-eyed. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is what I wanted. She needed to hear that she was loved and that she was a hero and that he saw that in her, which is why he fought for her. Guys, I got all emotional watching that. That's what I needed.
I think it's really important that they made the statement of the first time Laurel saw Lance, and I think this was, like, what, round 2 or 3? Whatever? Three.
It was on round 3.
Round 3.
Like, I can't do this again. Yeah. I got the closure that I needed, and I can't watch my
Well, no,
because
round 1, Oliver was by himself. Round 2, he ran into her
It was 3 for her.
Yeah, so on round 3, she saw Quentin for the first time. And what he said to her was, like, hey, baby girl, da-da-da-da-da. And then she...
No, she saw him on round 2. Oh, no, that's when she saw Oliver, right?
Yeah,
round
3.
So it was, but it was her third go at it where she got the actual goodbye.
No, that's not where I'm going. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. What I was trying to say is that it was nice to see her stop and go, you know, I'm like Earth 2. And he was like, well, yeah. And he still loved her just the same.
Yeah.
Like it was his daughter. And I thought that was a very important moment for her as well.
Especially, when he was like, no black lipstick. I was like, oh, he like knows everything about her. And Laurel had so many like fun one-liners tonight, too. I just wanted to throw that out there. Like, everything she was saying tonight was like, and usually I'm not the like biggest fan of hers, but tonight she was so good. She was so on point. She was like, fine, Carolina, I'll give it to you.
Like, here's the thing with her.
I loved her tonight. She was so great. And I loved that the short hair looked better.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Such a good line. And I was like, she's not wrong.
The thing is what's great about her is like when she goes head to head with Lila, she has no shame. Like she will call Lila out for what she is, says what she needs to say. You know, I'm not afraid of you. Basically, like you picked on the wrong person because I specialize in revenge. Whereas when Oliver's talking to Lila, it's such a different dichotomy because of the fact that he's so in this place this whole season of just. And so when he's talking to Lila, even though he's asking her, like, why are you doing this? It's such a mellow, version of him. Yes. So it's nice to have the feisty side of Laurel, like, really dig into Lila, because Lila deserves it.
Yeah.
Even though she thinks she's doing this, like, great thing. I'm like,
I've never been the biggest fan of Lila, so...
I mean, and everyone in the chat is always telling us, like, we've known that she's supposed to be this person since, like, the beginning, since a bunch of seasons ago, and, like, why is everyone so surprised? But it's just, like...
You can still hate her.
We can still not like the way that she's doing it, and we can still not like the storyline of, like, you know, how she is, you know, she was... Diggle's right-hand woman, like,
right,
you know, she's supposed to be part of the team, and now she's doing, like, the ultimate betrayal, kind of.
In a lot of ways, she's, like, Waller light.
Yeah.
She's, like, Amanda
Waller-ish. But, I don't know. I just don't like it.
I don't either. I think the reason that, not that I want to speak for you guys, but I think the reason, like, we don't like it so much is because of the fact that we like Diggle so much, and he's this wonderful, kind, endearing guy giving great advice, and so the last thing you want to see is him with some lady who's just totally, like, pulling one over on him.
He deserves better.
How life usually goes, though.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, who's life? Just
kidding. I feel like a lot of people, I feel like that's, in a way, even though it's a comic book character, it's, like, true to life. A lot of times you see the sweetest people with the most monstrous of partners, and you're like,
why? How did that happen?
How do you not see this? Like, I think a lot of people can relate to that. It makes character more three-dimensional.
Adam Rodriguez in the chat says, the one thing I didn't like is that tonight's episode of both The Flash and The Arrow, they keep bringing up the deaths of the both main characters. So, and I saw this in the chat earlier, I guess in The Flash tonight, they were talking about the death of Barry. So
they're doing dying too? What's happening?
I don't know.
Wait,
but
Barry died too?
No, they're like alluding to it, I guess. So I don't know.
The Flash ain't gonna die. He's got another season coming, guys.
They've got so many things. Anyway. Ivan Soda says, I used to love Lila so much. I can't believe I hate her this much now. True.
I've never liked her.
Neither.
That much.
No. I just didn't like her with Diggle. Yeah. That's what it was. The chemistry was really weird.
I never liked
off.
Her with Argus. So I never liked her at all.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know what's interesting? This is a little off topic, but because we've been bringing so many people back in accordance to the episode and the season, where's Damian Dark? That's who they need to bring back.
Oh, I know. I hope he pops into Leon Yu, just like surprises us. I hope we get him before the finale. Let that be the person that was blurred out in that photo that Steven and Mel redacted, because, oh my God, was Damian Dark not the absolute
best villain ever? Yeah.
Ever.
He was so evil. He's on that new show, Yellowstone, though, so I don't know. They like shoot in
just
Montana.
Just one episode. Like, right. They had to have been able to sneak him away for a week.
Yeah.
Just come film. It's the end of such a long series, and he was such a pivotal part of the show. Him and Malcolm Merlyn are the two best villains to ever be in Arrow, and I feel like we cannot finish without Malcolm and Damian.
They have to be around. They have to. I don't know. But maybe not. I mean, they can't bring everybody back that we loved.
Okay, but this isn't just, like, everybody. This is a massive...
Yeah.
Nobody's waiting for the calculator to come back, but, like, you know.
Black Magic says, best villain with the worst season. True. I mean, the season wasn't great, but Damian was awesome.
I give season 6 the worst season.
I give season 7.
Diaz was still there.
Yeah.
Well, that, and, like, I was just tired of seeing Oliver and Slapside. Like, 3 episodes, you're pushing it. Like, 6 or however many it was, I was like, good Lord, can I get the lead character back?
They got 22 episodes to get through, so that's
still
the thing.
Anyway, sorry, we're stop bashing now. This episode's a little bit challenging for me to talk about, only because we have 8 rounds of literally the same exact thing with a slight variation.
Yeah.
And that's really it. But I did mention, like, with the hashtag who I love to hate, the fact that this show is really driving home the point that Oliver needs to accept that he's gonna die, and that's Lila's message to him. And there was a piece of me that was like, okay, excuse my Japanese, that is such a shitty message for young people. Like, just accept stuff. Like, I get where they're going, but Oliver's motto has always been never give up, don't give up, keep going. And even Quentin compliments him on that. And then the whole moral of the story is just accept your fate, and if that means you're gonna die, don't fight fate.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. You're right.
I took it a little differently because of his conversation with, well, 2 things. Because of his conversation with Quentin that Oliver had, I felt that it wasn't so much as accept your death as accept that you aren't responsible for the actions of others. because he was still holding on to Quentin's death as if it was something he could have changed and prevented.
Right.
So he wanted to change and prevent it to whatever end, to change whatever timeline, and that wasn't going to happen. And it wasn't so much as a don't believe in yourself and give up on yourself and just accept that he's dead, so much as like accept that this was Quentin's choice. Like, Quentin jumped in front of his daughter because it was the best thing he could do for her. And that had nothing to do with Oliver. And it had nothing to do with his capabilities as, like, a quote-unquote hero. And it had everything to do with Quentin's choices.
Yeah.
So I didn't take it so much as, like, accept your fate, you're dying, so much as, like, you have to accept that you're not the only one with a role to play. And you have to accept other people's decisions and not try and force your hand to change their decisions. But I was disappointed that the episode wasn't about Laurel, because when she came and Lila said that cryptic thing about, like, there's a lesson to learn and this, that, and the other, I thought it was Laurel's lesson. And in a way it was. But
it was.
I wish it was Laurel that had broken the cycle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wish she was the one that had realized that she had to accept it. Because it was more her story, but I understand.
But she did break the cycle. She broke her version of the cycle, and then he needs to break his version of the cycle, you know?
Yeah.
They both broke the cycle in their own way. And that, and to piggyback on your point, you're right. Like, that's been Oliver's, since season one, episode one, that has been his, like, you know, not demise, but something that he's always, he's put everything on his back. Everything is his fault. You know, he always takes the blame for everything. And
he has to control everything.
Maybe that's part of the lesson, is that he just needs to let go and let things happen the way that they're supposed to happen.
I agree-ish. Like, I agree with what you're saying in terms of, in regards to Lance. Like, there was nothing he could have done. Yeah. Yes, he takes on a lot of guilt.
But that applies to other things, too.
Right, but the point I'm making as far as, like, with Lila, like, you're telling our main hero constantly, accept fate, meaning, and as Oliver took it, I need to accept that I'm going to die. So since I have to accept I'm going to die, I'm going to go and tell my children that I'm glad I had my time with them, and, you know, this is coming.
Yeah.
Cool, whatever, but again, I just don't like that. I don't like that, accept your death, just accept your death.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's weird, especially because he was put into context with Oliver. You're the type of person that doesn't give up. You don't ever stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I have this big thing to tell people.
I totally hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure that that's the message that they meant to get across. I feel like the message was, instead of fighting this fate where they tell you you're going to die, accept that other people have a role to play. And maybe it's not what it seems, because letting Quentin go, he discovered that Quentin made that decision for himself. It wasn't something that Oliver could have prevented. Mm-hmm. So maybe something terrible is going to happen that Oliver's not going to be able to prevent.
Yeah.
And it's not so much doing with his death as accepting that he can't shoulder everything alone. And it'll make the whole crisis amp up the stakes, because he'll have to work better as a team, because even in past crisis, he hasn't done the best working as a team.
Yeah. And there was that, but there was that one line from Mia when he was walking out the door, and he was like, you know, it was nice knowing you guys, basically saying bye. And she was like, you're going to be fine, Dad. And so I feel like that's like the fighter in her, and the fighter in Oliver that she got from him. So I don't know. I feel like it's not,
you're not falling out of your chair again. Yeah, technical difficulties
going
on.
Although this chair is a little broken, so if I fall over sideways.
Anyway, Brandon says, I think Oliver is going to die protecting Mia from a blast in crisis.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Like Lance protecting Laurel from a gunshot.
Yeah, I hope not. Just for that very reason. It's repetitious.
And then Brandon 52 right after says, if that's the reason Oliver dies is because of Mia, I will riot.
Thank you. High five. Through the lens. Thank you.
Since we're in the chat really quickly,
please.
I see a couple of people that are new.
Hi.
Maybe they're not new. I just haven't seen them before. So Kaios, James, and Funsize 26. I haven't seen you guys before. So hello. Hello and
Hi.
Welcome.
You
and if I have, then I'm sorry I missed you.
Would be really cool when you come into the chat, okay? And I know we're in the middle of a show, but especially for new people, put where you're from. Because
yeah.
It would be kind of neat to know, like, where are you from? Like, where are you watching
the show
from?
How about let us know right now? Where are you guys watching from?
Yeah.
So, it'll come in a little bit of a delay, but I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, because I remember, and
Billie Jean Girl. I don't know if it was you or somebody else that they always used to tune in from, not Barbados, but in that general area. And they were in a totally different time zone, but yeah. She would stay up.
She's here, so she'll tell us.
There's yes. definitely a guy who watches this from the Bahamas, for sure.
That's what I was trying to say, Bahamas.
Yeah, but it's a guy. It's a guy.
Oh, well,
I don't remember. I don't remember his name, but there's a guy.
Billie Jean Boy. Yeah.
No. Oh, there's a guy. I don't remember his screen name, but he always.
Okay,
tunes
I'm
in
getting
from
a lot.
Bahamas.
Yay! Okay, this is exciting.
JJ from LA, Kelly from California, Grayson from Oregon.
Okay.
Fun Size from STL,
St. Louis.
Oh, thank you. Black Magic from East Coast, Connecticut. Renji from Georgia. Blob cool. from Virginia. Brandon, Virginia. Ivan from Miami. Hi.
What?
Michael Blake, Canada. The page for my Selenator page. Hello. Welcome. Oakland. Charmed Original, Canada. Archer's Alley, LA.
Canada.
Adam Rodriguez, Austin. And then Washington from Brandon, 52.
Wow. Michael Blake is in Canada. First of all, mm-hmm. thank you to everybody. And those of you that are 3 hours ahead of us, oh my gosh.
How are you awake?
Yeah. And then to Ivan.
A power nap to watch right? our show. Yeah.
To Ivan, who's in Miami, which I didn't know you were in Miami. Matt's going to love living out there with you.
Yes.
Can't wait to tell
him. He's going to start picking out you guys' house together. It's going to be so
bikinis.
Good.
He's probably going to come in like a Hawaiian flowered shirt. Yeah, right? For the vibe.
That's hilarious. Okay. We're supposed to be talking about a show.
Anyway. That was a fun little segment. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. I like that. Cool. It's really cool.
And plus, our show was just over-repetitive
seriously.
Over and over again.
Seriously. It's so funny, too, because we're talking about, are we going to have enough time for news? We got so much time, girl. okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just because the show really was three plot points
over and over again.
So fun.
All going to a party. Really bad cop joke.
Yeah.
I will say this. Congrats to David Ramsey on directing the episode.
Yes.
Massive congrats to him. And also, I still think the writing is very well done this season. So even though I don't like Groundhog Day type shows, I still thought the writing was well done.
Yeah.
And also for the actors, I feel like what a fun challenge to play the same thing for everyone who had to wake up and pretend that they didn't know. Like, what a fun challenge to put nuance into your performance, because you have to pretend you didn't just do this again and again, which is normally your job anyways.
Right.
But to do it within a context where there is like slight variation and you're supposed to not be aware of it again and again and again.
Right.
I just thought they did a really great job. So shout out to them for that.
I actually really liked the scene with Lance and Laurel when he died. God, whatever time it was that he died. When she got to say her thank yous.
Yes.
And he had said, before the thank you, excuse me, when she had to tell him that he died. Because he was saying, oh, God, so wait, in real life, I'm not the mayor? Like, of course that lady beat me. And she's
Pollard.
Like, well, yeah. And he's like, well, actually...
Well, no, because he was like, it's something else.
Yeah. But when she tells him, you know, not only did you die, but you died saving me. And he's like, well, that sounds like a good way to go.
Aww.
Like, I couldn't think of any better way. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I think that was after also, too, she made the realization, like, you know that I'm the Earth to the world, and you still feel like this way. Like, I was worth your sacrifice.
He loves her. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Now I understand, but when I watched that part, I was like, why is she telling him? If they're just kind of, like, trying to save him, like, why can't he just, like, live his life knowing that he didn't have to die? I don't know.
I get it,
but I'm just saying it was, like, in the moment, I was just like, what? Why is she telling him? No.
He would have gotten it out of her, I
know,
I think, though.
Because he would have known, but it's just still sad.
I like the scene in the beginning, the first time, when the second time loop happens, when... Oliver realizes he's in a time loop and he goes and he tells him and he's like, you believe me? And he's like, yeah, I know a guy who runs so fast he can reverse time, and I've seen my daughter die and come back to life twice.
Yeah.
And another one come back from another earth. He was like, you know, I've just learned to not doubt you at this point. I thought that was a cool scene. But when I was talking about, just for everybody listening at home, when I was talking about, like, the nuance of getting to play the differences, I meant more, like, the kids doing the same exact lines again and again and again the same way, but kind of different. And, like, shout out to the co-star of The Waitress who has one line. But what a delight to get to do it, like, 20 different ways.
Yeah.
So, because usually you get a co-star and it's like, here's your envelope. And then you're never seen or heard from again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're like, I finally got my network credit as an actor. So what a joy to get that and get to keep coming back and saying it. And also like to the cops with the joke where you just you get to actually play, which is fun. Yeah. So it's fun from the actor's point of view.
Yeah. And I like that he learned so fast. Like, after the first time
Thank
loop,
goodness.
He
Thank
like goodness. He like got it right away. I was like, ah, if this is gonna be dragged out forever, I'm gonna freaking cry. But he was like on it, from the beginning. So that was cool.
It was a little upsetting to me though that Diggle took Lila's side and was like, oh, it's fine. She came clean. She's a double agent. And this heifer had the audacity to be like, yeah, I'm a double agent. And Oliver's looking at her sideways, like, I'm supposed to believe you?
Yeah.
And how do you believe her? Like, what did she shoot you with?
Yeah. Diggle's usually, like, Cupid's 100% arrow. Oliver's side. And never, like, he's always like, yeah, Oliver, I got you, you know? And this time he was like, no, Lila.
He's always had a problem believing him over Lila, though. That's always. True.
Always with Lila.
Always. Ugh. Freaking Lila.
Freaking Anyways. Lila, ruining our life. Anyway. Right?
We're all like, so... It's like one of the first times we've had to host a show and be like, well, there's not really, that's what happened tonight, folks.
Well, I mean, we can talk about Lian Yu.
Sure. Yeah.
I wasn't surprised. As soon as they broke out of the time loop and they were in that tent, I was like, they're on Lian Yu. I knew it.
Oh, yeah,
I
of course.
I knew it. There was going to be nowhere else.
But you know, it's interesting why they selected those two characters to experience these time loops together.
Yes, interesting.
Like, of any of the characters that he could have done that, he could have done it with Diggle.
But I feel, no, because I feel like if they're bringing Quentin back, the only two characters with the strongest connection to Quentin are Laurel and Oliver.
True.
Yeah, but now they're doing this whole other round of whatever's going to happen next week.
Right. God, I hope it's
not a but repeat. next week isn't a Groundhog Day type episode though.
No, I know, but it's the two main, you know, They're Laurel and Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and the kids.
Yeah, but I wonder why they did pick them to experience Lian Yu. Like, why them? Mm-mm. You know, it's interesting for William because he goes there and that's where he discovers Roy and he ends up going back to Star City, but it'll be interesting to see Mia there because she's never been. She's only heard about it from third parties. So it'll be interesting to see what has been left untouched on Lian Yu that they have to bring back into our present now, because for so long, so much of Arrow was this flashback into his time at Lian Yu and all of this mystery that was just shrouded on like lies and deceptions and, you know... Mm-hmm. Misconceptions, I would say. So it's like interesting to see everybody there now in the present. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what revelation will come to it and if they'll find something on Lian Yu that will help them in crisis, because that island is chock full of mystical things.
So many mystical things.
So that's my thought on it.
I had a vision. It has nothing to do with Arrow, but so you said mystical things, and a long time ago, I had shown this picture in News and Gossip, and it was Manu Bennett, and he was shirtless on a white horse, so...
Oh, yeah, that's pretty mystical. In my mind,
maybe he'll, like, ride across the lake there, and we'll be like, hey.
The guys don't care. They really don't care. I'm sorry.
I mean, some guys might care. They're into that.
You know, maybe. Oh, duh. Hello.
Hello. Ivan Soto says, it's why Oliver and Laurel belong together. Haha, sorry, Olivia.
Oh, Ooh, she's giving you the dirty eye.
That's not true. They don't belong together.
For those listening into the podcast.
They don't belong together. They never will be together. Oh, there's he's not. He's pulling it up, but anyway.
Yes, let's pull up this picture of Manu Bennett. I'll take it all day.
Oh, are we sharing it with everyone?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, some people need a reference, right? Oh, I'm sorry. He's naked. Oh my. He's very naked.
That's perfect. So, look at those abs.
Whoa.
That is what's going to be on Lee and You in my version when I direct it. Episode. Isn't that amazing? Could you imagine being that horse?
What?
I mean, I feel like the horse is insulted. I feel like the horse is like, please get off of me.
Yeah.
So for those of you, again, listening to the podcast, you may want to Google this image of Manu Bennett, fantastic, who's in the buff, completely in the buff.
With so many abs. Like, he has abs on his abs.
He was in...
Abs on abs.
300?
Abs on abs.
No.
Abs on abs. Abs on abs.
One of those. Spartacus 300. He was in, like, one of those. So that explains. He's probably true. Anyway. But for those of you who are listening to the podcast, please like, rate, comment, and subscribe, because we really appreciate when you do. You make us the ESPN of TV talk, and we get to give you, as Matt Marr says, a buffet. Or is that you? Somebody says buffet.
I think it's definitely Matt.
Definitely
okay,
Matt.
Okay, a buffet of different programming. There's something for everybody here at AfterBuzz TV, so find us on iTunes.
Yeah, and if you're in the comments, we will be there too.
Where's
yeah.
my sparkle?
Say oh, hello yeah. on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Tell us what you yeah. love about it. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. We love your love, and we talk to you all week long.
There we go.
Anyway.
Okay, so I mean, I'm
it
not
made
gonna
me want to
us...
bust out with a song from Reading Rainbow.
Right?
Yeah, right. Always. You know.
Okay, so I feel like if we just keep talking, we're going to be talking about nothing. So what we should do is get into news and gossip, talk about some predictions. That way our co-hosts can give us predictions, too, because I think there's more room for conversation in prediction category. Yeah. But let's not forget, Archer's Alley, excuse you. Let's find the sound effect and get it together. We'll wait.
There it is.
Okay.
There we go. I brought you guys another comic from DC. This is actually... issue number 4 of the new 52, and it's called Volume 4, The Kill Machine. So I thought this was interesting because this is Andrea Sorrentino, Marcello Maiolo, and Jeff Lemire, who... Lemire?
Lemire. It looks like Lemire.
Looks like Lemire, yeah. But I'm not sure. It could be Lemire. Anyhow, I thought this was an interesting take on Oliver Queen because the way they've drawn him is very young. I almost feel like it could be William versus
Ooh.
Him.
Well,
yeah, just the way in that they drew him, I thought it was a very different look. And since we were departing to an alternate timeline, this is why I chose this one for you guys this week. And as you go through in this one, he is going through a very interesting journey where he's trying to rebrand himself as the Green Arrow because he narrowly escaped death and now a lot of people are after him. This is the issue where we meet Naomi Singh, who is a former Q-Corps employee. And we also discover in this issue that Emiko is his half-sister.
Okay. We knew all about that.
Yeah, which coming up into episode 7 kind of plays into everything that we learned in the past seasons, and I just felt that it would be a good share. Also, it's beautifully, beautifully illustrated. The colors are fantastic. Yeah, the colors are just really fantastic in all of these. Like, you can just see the pages are so glossy. I can't even take a photo without all of the lights reflecting off of it. So if you've been wondering about the new 52, I think that the illustrations alone are worth giving it a shot. But also, it's a new take on Arrow because everyone's faces look so different, and it kind of makes you feel like you are in an alternate world reading the comics.
So really quick, for those of our guests who are joining in maybe for the first time and they haven't seen the comic before, where can they purchase this?
Online, comic book stores. Amazon is your best friend.
Okay. Amazon is my best friend. Yay.
All right. Well, then we have a really special news and gossip, so let's get
into
that.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Since Matt's not here, I will be taking over news and gossip today. And as some of you know, my other job is to interview people. And right before the season started, I got to interview a couple of the cast members of Arrow. And since today, Diggle directed this episode, I wanted to bring up his interview that I did. So take it away.
What have you learned from playing Diggle all these years, not just as an actor, but as a human?
Truth above all, for truth's sake, yeah. That's pretty lofty. But no, right, you weren't expecting that. Yeah. But John Diggle's taught me that, you know, that truth is important just because of what it is, yeah. Right? It's good for the team. And it's good for the universe, right? Just be your most authentic self. For me, that's what I think John Diggle taught me. And I think that's why people kind of didn't, you know, this character wasn't part of the DC Comics. He became part of the DC Comics because of the fans. I think he's just one of these guys, right? He's, you know, he's looking at people that can fly faster than light, and he's like, this is not right. This is not normal. Mm-hmm. He's saying what people would normally say in this situation. So I think he just has a truthfulness and an authenticity that rang true for the audience and for myself.
Yeah, when you do get away from it, what do you plan on doing?
Good question. I direct episode 6, and I think I've been bitten by that bug.
Okay.
A little bit.
You're going to do more directing.
Yeah, I am. And directing and producing has really been something that's really been knocking at my door, and there's opportunities that have been created from Arrow because of that.
What can you tell us about Crisis on Influencer?
Not much.
Everything? You mean?
I don't. And by not much, you mean everything? Diggle's dead, no. I think a lot of questions will be answered. Okay. Is Oliver dead? What happens? What happens to the relationship with he and Felicity? Is David Ram or John Diggle Green Lantern? What happens to he and the relationship he has with his wife and his two sons? So I think a lot of questions will be answered in Crisis and by the 10th episode.
Yay! That's it. So he did, I mean, in one of the parts, he obviously mentioned the Green Lantern. And I tried to get it out of him. I was like, are you the Green Lantern? Tell me now. He's like, I can't tell you. He's like, I know, but I can't tell you. So he didn't tell me, but he did mention it. And yeah, it was just interesting to see that he was, you know, talking about how he loves directing and how he loved directing this episode and how everything is going to change on Crisis. So it was just a fun little chat that I wanted to share with you guys.
Yay! Yay. It was fantastic. You're such a great interviewer.
Anyways.
Looks like there's something else up there. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. Did you include the other link? Are we doing the other video or no?
No, I just forwarded what you had.
Okay. So then we have one other really short video. Hopefully it's time queued up. I think it's supposed to be at like a minute 34. But since David Ramsey was talking about the things that he learned while he's been on Arrow, I wanted to share with you something that he's learned, which is apparently some archery skills. Maybe. I don't know.
Some notchery skills.
Some non-archery skills.
Archery skills. So as soon as we get this commercial going, hopefully we can get a chance to peek at it. But in the meantime, it looks like we're having issues. So technical difficulties, we're just going to...
Yeah, we'll skip through it.
We'll skip through that. If we find it later, cool. If not, we'll share it next week. We can get into some predictions because I think that's where all the juicy stuff's going to happen.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Catrice Thornton just got here. So, hi, Catrice.
Where are you from, Catrice? Where are you
I don't know. You're,
from?
Yeah, I don't
know. Tell us.
So many new people today.
Canada,
it's very interesting.
Oregon, China, LA. Tell us. We want to know. Please. We want to know all the things.
There's a lot of Virginias. Anyway, sorry. News and gossip.
Yes.
I mean, predictions. Go.
I think that we are going to find something mystical in Lian Yu, which is going to aid us in Crisis.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun. That's my prediction.
Okay. My prediction is that Mia is going to have a bigger role in all of this than we think.
My prediction is, well, okay. I'm having a brain fart. Oh, Nyssa.
Uh-huh.
And we're finally going to get her back, hopefully, on Lian Yu. Yeah, I don't know. You know, this episode deflated me just a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I have one prediction that Grayson, I keep not being able to say your name right. Grayson, you're on it. Thank you. I predict Oliver is still alive. Why else would future Felicity ask the Monitor to take her to him? He may have to stay in another universe or wherever the Monitor is to save everyone else.
That is such a great pay attention to detail because I think we all got so involved in this storyline that we forgot that happened. So Grayson, thank you for that. For the rest of you, start putting in your predictions because obviously I failed at that. But it looks like we did find our video. So if we can take a look at this one. And Ryan, if you can queue it up to 1 minute and 34 seconds, that'd be awesome because you can see just how wonderful David Ramsey
so
is.
So do I. Who
it's
thought of this?
It's getting embarrassing.
It's getting embarrassing. Here we go.
Okay. Wow.
Well, he's not pulling it back far enough.
She even had to laugh at him.
Who thought of this?
It's getting embarrassing.
It's getting embarrassing. Here we go.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
She had to walk away.
I know. She's. This is after several tries.
I'm going to take my bow and go home.
One more extra, hit the
subscribe. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
She gave him the option of either a little Nerf gun or the arrow. And he's like, you know, I haven't been arrow in a while, but typically Diggle uses a gun. So she's like, well, the gun option's there. And yeah. he's like, great. So he missed every single shot with the gun option. But to be fair, it's a nerf situation. Yeah. So a slight, like, from the wind. And it's like, pew! But that one, that was like a firm wooden situation. And he was like, dink.
It was like, well,
if you watch him pull it back, he didn't pull it all the way back. It didn't have the tension to release the arrow.
It literally went like, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? You just barely pulled it. It's not going to go anywhere. You have to put the tension in there for the release.
Right.
Yeah.
Either and way. It was also like a fake toy bow and arrow too, but still
embarrassing.
Like,
it's so embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. You kind of want to pull it back till you feel like your arm's going to give out on you. I took archery in high school. You want to feel, it kind of feels like your arm's going to give out on you. It's strong. Like, it is an arm workout. Your arms and your shoulders will be ripped if you do archery.
Well, he wasn't the archer in the show, so no. I guess he
filled in temporarily, but clearly.
But also, fun fact, all the arrows on Arrow are CGI. They don't actually shoot any
really?
Arrow.
Really? Yeah, every single one of them?
I thought you knew that.
No.
Oh yeah, they're all fake.
But okay, for research purposes, then Stephen Amell can shoot a bow and arrow, which obviously he should be able to,
yes,
to have
for
proper
sure.
form. But there've been so many videos of him online shooting and being like really great at it. Yeah. So in my mind, he was shooting at least a fake arrow.
They're all fake. I found that out last season because I interviewed one of the guys who played. I forget who played on the show, but I brought in the clip from the other interview. He is the lead on Pure on WGN, and I did a sit down with him. And he talked about how they put these contacts in his eyes and he couldn't see. And he kept like walking into the camera during one of the big like fight scenes because he couldn't see. And Steven was like, can we not CGI his eyes? Because we've literally CGI'd every arrow on this show. He's never shot an actual arrow on the show.
That's crazy.
What a disappointment. Okay.
But shout out for Steven looking out for his co-star because he got him some CGI eyeballs so he could stop walking into everything.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, predictions. Brandon, I predict that next episode will have the entire Team Arrow finding the last piece to the weapon to defeat the antimatter. Crisis will also begin at the end and that Thea, Roy, and Nyssa will all help. Archer's Alley, I predict Wild Dog will die soon.
Oh.
Okay. Ivan, prediction, the monitor will allow Oliver to live after Crisis. Which is, I mean, maybe they are headed in that direction. They're like shoving down our throats that he's going to die just to let him live.
Well,
that's
really
what
quick
I think.
To piggyback off of that, they just randomly threw in there Laurel and the whole fact that it was a test to see if she would betray Oliver.
Yeah.
And she did not, so she passed the test. I was like,
come on with your test. Get out of here. Charmed original, baby Sarah will be brought back by the monitor as Lila's reward for helping him, and Sarah's future self will be brought from the future to fight in Crisis.
David Ramsey did confirm that there will be reference to Sarah in the future. Let's say how.
Hashtag justice for baby Sarah, says Ivan. what else? I think that's all of them.
Hang on. Well, the actor that I was talking about is Ryan Robbins.
That had the eyeballs?
Yeah.
Yes, and he played Conklin.
There we go.
Conklin.
Yeah,
I had to look it up. I was like, hang on, this is going to drive me insane.
I remember the name. I don't remember the eyeballs.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, apparently there was like something weird with his eyes and they put the contacts in, but then he couldn't actually see. So we have the video from the last season where I brought in the clip for everyone of him talking about it. Mm. But we can find it again. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
All fake arrows.
Colin Prime is... Oh, hi, Colin.
It's been a while. Hi.
He knew it was a test. Everything's a test. Whatever. Oh.
Sorry. Hashtag who I love to hate. The test.
The test.
Wow. Okay. Well, I feel like we've gone through our predictions. Yes. We've gone through this redundant show.
Episode. Yeah.
That it was not... a redundant. No, it was a redundant episode.
Yeah. It really was. But regardless, we enjoy redundantizing with you guys.
It was so
thank
fun.
You for joining us. I'm going to turn to the front because all of us want to say goodbye at the same time. Don't forget to find Matt Marr. Tell him hi. You love him.
Happy Thanksgiving to us.
All those other great things. And to you guys, if you do celebrate, happy Thanksgiving. We are grateful to you. If you're in another country, doesn't
matter. Are you going to give him a gobble gobble?
To you. I mean, I'm not warmed up yet.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
In honor of Thanksgiving, although I eat tofurkey, guys.
Here is your tofurkey call.
Oh! we'll see you then. I'm your host, Allie Kona Bradford. Please follow me. Good Lord. On Instagram. Yours truly, Allie Kona, with underscores in between. I'm on Twitter, but honestly, you'll find more on Instagram.
More on Instagram. Yeah. I'm Olivia Di Bortoli on all things, so you can find me everywhere, and I will reply to you, and I will also be in all the comments, so leave
She's
a comment.
Good at that.
I'm good at it.
Hi, guys. I'm Carolina Benetti. As always, you can find me on Instagram as LenaBean113 and on Twitter as Carolina Benetti.
All right. Till next week. Mwah. Goodbye.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.